I'd like to read in the book of Ephesians tonight, chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, midway through the New Testament. And we're going to read verse number 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now I'm going to read the three blessings that we've received. Verse number 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest," and that word simply means the pledge, or the down payment, "which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Now perhaps you're wondering why I read in Ephesians chapter 1. These are not the usual verses that you would read in a gospel meeting, because what this chapter is giving us is really written to Christians. You see, as Paul wrote to this group of believers in Ephesus, a very large city in Greece, he was writing to people who had heard the gospel. There was a time when they had never heard the gospel. In fact, if you were to turn to chapter 2, you begin to understand what they once were. And I thought, as our brother gave out the hymns tonight, that he was setting the stage for what I had upon my heart. Because what these people came to understand is that the gospel is a life-changing message concerning a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And as Paul wrote to this group of Christians, he reminded them that there was a time when they were dead in trespasses and sins. There had been times in their life when they were separated from God. Sin had come in. A barrier had been raised by the awful reality of sin, and they were separated from God. Not only were they separated from God and dead in their sins, with no spiritual life, nothing to please God with, but he reminds them that there was a time when they were walking according to the course of this world. They were doing what everybody else was doing. They were thinking like everybody else was thinking. And behind that course and that pathway was the mighty power of the enemy. The god of this world had blinded their minds, and he was energizing them. He was controlling them, and they were going through life unaware of their need. And as they were going along the course of life, they were in darkness. They didn't know what truth was. They didn't know that they needed to be saved. In fact, as we look at Acts chapter 19, where the gospel account of the entrance of the gospel into Ephesus is given, we realize that this was a cosmopolitan city. A city of tremendous wealth and culture. A city that was filled with religion. With all kinds of shrines. And around those shrines, and instruments of worship, there was a very, very lucrative trade. Business was great in Ephesus. Religion was thriving. Culture was growing. And yet into that large city came the message of the gospel. And all of a sudden, people began to hear truth that they had never heard before. If you were to go down the chapter in chapter 2, you'd understand that not only was their condition separated from God, but their position was in jeopardy. He reminds them that these people were far from God. He reminds them that they had no claim upon God. And he reminds them that they were without Christ. And that they were without hope in this world. And as I look at Ephesians chapter 2, I'm made aware that that exactly describes Toronto tonight. And Canada. And North America. And this entire world. Without God. Without hope. Groping in the shadows. Wondering what truth is. And yet tonight the gospel of God's grace and the light of God's wondrous revealed will is being beamed into the four corners of this world. And you know that the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. And tonight, and throughout the course of this day, souls have been saved. Not only in Toronto, but around this world tonight, lives have been transformed by the power of this message. Now, I have read Ephesians chapter 1 because I've been made aware that what this world really wants is what we have in Christ. If you were to ask individuals along the streets of Toronto, Yonge Street, or whatever, what do you want out of life? What kind of answers do they give? Tell me, what do you want out of life? I'm sure that one of the main answers would be simply this. I would like to have peace. I would like to be satisfied. I would like to be free. There's another thing that people would like tonight. They'd like to have security. And I think that one of the overriding factors in this world is just a growing sense that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I was talking to my brother-in-law, or actually my brother and sister-in-law, just on Monday night. And they were telling me about a relative of theirs that had applied for a job on the east coast of Canada. The company had decided to help with the move, and so he had moved lock, stock, and barrel from the prairies over to the east coast of Canada, and he had just settled into his job. He had gone away for a weekend for some kind of a seminar. He came back to discover that he had been given a notice to clear out his desk. And without any warning, everything was changed. We are living in a very, very insecure world. What else do people want tonight? They would like to have hope. They'd like to have a future. And as I think of these tremendous realities and these great, great desires, I'm made aware that that's exactly what the Christian has in Christ. In whom we have, is the language of Ephesians chapter 1. We have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have security in the indwelling Spirit of God. And we have received an inheritance. Our future is secure. And tonight, the blessings of God and the wondrous gift of everlasting life through the gospel is being extended to every single individual. I recall in 1982 I was moving my residence from the west coast of Newfoundland to the town of Gander, 10 or 11,000 population, and I had decided to buy a piece of land to move my house on. I was living in a double-wide modular home. And so I found a piece of land. It was owned by Newfoundland Labrador Housing Corporation, and so I went into the office to sign the terms of agreement, and I sat across the desk from a young man, likely in his early 30s, and he began to ask me questions. What do you do? Where are you coming from? Where did you live? Why have you come? And of course I was answering them as quickly as he asked them, And then he stopped. And he said, you're from the west coast of the island. I said, yes. He says, my wife comes from the west coast. I said, that's very interesting. We happen to be on the same shore that she came from. He says, what are you doing in Gander? I said, well, I'm a preacher of the gospel, and we are involved in the advance of the gospel, and that's why we've come to Gander. And with that, he put his pen down, and he began to ask me some questions. He said, you know, I grew up in London, England. And I can remember attending a Sunday school linked with a gospel hall. And he says, I still remember some of the choruses, but he says, that was years ago. Our family came over to Newfoundland, and he says, here I am. And as we talked, finally he said, you know, I kind of envy you. And I said, Ken, why do you envy me? He said, I can see that you have found the truth. He says, I am still searching. Just to add another dimension, I happened to become one of his next door neighbors. Didn't realize that the piece of land I was buying was just diagonally across from where he lived. And as I got to know Ken, I realized that he had a good job. He had one of the newer homes in Gander. He had a lovely wife, a former airline stewardess. He had a lovely family. He had a cottage down by one of the ponds just down the road from Gander. He had a brand new vehicle. Everything was going for him. And yet when the bottom line came, he said, you know, I am still looking to find out what life is all about. What do people want tonight? People want to have peace. People want to be able to have rest for their soul. And as I come to what the gospel is able to do and what the gospel has done in many lives in this very auditorium, I'm made aware of the reality of this truth in verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And then Paul adds the forgiveness of sins. Do you know that there's a tremendous burden linked with our sin? Because you see, when we sin against God, and when we sin against our fellow man, linked with sin is guilt. And linked with guilt is weight. And there's many a person tonight, and maybe you're among them, I don't know, but God knows. And you look at the past of your life, and you wish you could undo some of those things. Oh, if you could only have your time back, you would change so much. But it's water under the bridge. You can't undo it. You can't pull those words back in. You can't undo those choices. And as you stand in the all-seeing eye of God, you realize, I have sinned against God, and I'm guilty. And as we speak that way, I want to say it applies to all of us, speaker included. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there are people tonight, and they live with the tremendous burden and weight of guilt. Trying to get rid of it, whichever way they can. Trying to forget about it. Trying to fill their lives with non-stop activity. Just keep the music playing. But when they finally stop or lay down in their beds at night, there it is again. I'm not ready to meet God. Oh, if we could only have rest. If my sins could only be forgiven. If I could only find peace. I was struck by a very, very brief letter that was sent to the U.S. government back on February 6, 1974. Now that's 22 years ago. It said, and these are the words, Dear Sirs, I am sending $10 for blankets I stole while in World War II. My mind could not rest. sorry I'm late. Signed, an XGI. And then he had a P.S. And he says, I want to be ready to meet God. Sad, isn't it? 30 years of guilt. 30 years of trying to get around what that man had done. Only a few blankets. Only $10 worth. But upon his soul was the guilt of sin. Is there somebody here tonight and you'd like to have that guilt removed? Is there somebody here tonight and you long to be forgiven? To be able to look up and say, thank God it's all but settled. To not have to fear to meet God. I want to say there is a remedy. And as we look at this wondrous verse, it says, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. Who's he speaking of? Who is this man in whom we have redemption? Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, the very focus of the gospel concerns the wondrous person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who made all. The one who is the sustainer, the upholder of all things, and yet the one who became poor that we might be rich. The one who came to this world to put away sin. The one who came to pay the tremendous debt that we owed. And there upon dark Calvary in the fire of God's wrath, he paid that debt in full. And the gospel message is, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Because the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. I trust you understand there's not a clergyman of whatever type of cloth he might be that's able to forgive one of your sins. No one. Apart from the matchless person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight you could have peace. Tonight you can have forgiveness. Tonight you could have rest. Knowing that the guilt of my sin has been paid by another. In drops of royal blood at Calvary. Because, friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Thank God for the value of that blood. But tonight, those who are saved have a future. And I'm not talking about, you know, this kind of a future we got to cross your fingers and kind of hope so. That is not what the Bible is speaking of. This future that we have is a future that is absolutely secure. No ifs about it. Because you see, this future is based upon the finished work of Christ. And this future is established on the unchanging Word of God. And this future is guaranteed by the indwelling Spirit of God. And as Paul writes to these believers, and they were going through difficult times, but he says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Riches of God's grace put to our account. And there's a day coming when we will step into the fullness of that inheritance. And as Peter writes, he says it's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled. It'll never fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. I'm thankful that this world is not my home. I'm going to a far better place. And there is a day coming when the riches of God's grace will usher me into his eternal day. And I'll find myself in the presence of the Savior.
And I will understand then really how much he paid and how much he accomplished. And I'll understand in a little measure anyway the riches of his grace to me. I don't deserve it. And yet, thank God for a future that's guaranteed. Tonight, there are only two possibilities. Either you're heading for a hopeless end, or you're heading for an endless hope. There was a young woman on the same shore that I've been describing, the North Shore Bay of Islands, that sent her children to Sunday school. But dear Loretta, fine, fine mother, she was always too busy to bother to stop to hear the gospel. She was glad her children were hearing it, but, you know, there were other things to occupy her attention. Weekdays were busy with work. She'd come home tired. Weekends, of course, there was the partying, and there was the dart league, and all that goes on in the old course of Newfoundland. And so one day, she wasn't feeling so well, and she went to the doctor, and to make a long story short, she was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I can recall going to that home and sitting down to try and have just a heart-to-heart talk with that dear soul. And finally I turned to her and I said, Loretta, how are things going? And she said, I think they're going all right. I said, Loretta, you're going out into eternity. What about your sins? Said these words, she said, I hope that they're diminishing. Are you willing to face eternity with just a hope? Or a hope so? Could I give you the other side of it before I sit down? One of the men that I have preached with over the years is now home in heaven, and is a man called George Campbell. And a day came when George was diagnosed with the same disease as Loretta was. And we watched in dismay, with sorrows, we watched a strong man who loved to preach the gospel growing weaker. Until finally, some of his last days had arrived. His doctor was a Christian. And one night he came in after he'd done his rounds, and he said, George, he sat down on the bed, he said, George, I'd like to read with you tonight. No medical terms now. He opened up God's Word. And he began to read about a Savior. And about heaven. And about that eternal day. He said, George, you've preached about this man. And you've told thousands about this man. And you've come to know this man. But George, you've never seen him. He said, George, it won't be long, and you'll be with him, and you'll see him face to face. What a difference. I hope my sins are getting less. I hope it's all going to work out all right. But to look ahead in that wondrous prospect, to understand that to die is gain. To breathe my last as a Christian means heaven. To say goodbye to this world is to awaken his presence. The one who loved me, who shed his blood at Calvary, I want to say the blessings that we have as Christians is really what this world wants, and friend, it could be yours tonight. God is offering his salvation to every single person that wants it. I trust there'll be somebody here tonight that you'll be brought into the greatest of all blessings, faith in Christ, and heaven as your eternal home.